corazón. Crema.
Güey, nos hizo el triple contra Young. Entra en la pintura. Fuera para Stevens, que lanza el triple de aquí a la izquierda.
Broadcasting live
ish
from Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on the sunny shores of beautiful Lake Erie.
Archie Diacono looking for an opening. Doesn't find one. Thomas is right there. Blocked by Thomas.
Get that weak stuff out of here.
In downtown Cleveland.
Hello, Cleveland. Hello, Cleveland.
You've tuned in to Wine and Gold Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Rafa, J-Mike, and Joe G.
Now that's energy.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a special trade deadline edition of
Wine and Gold Radio.
I'm surprised you didn't trade the jingle.
Well, we had the polka, and I think we may have released the polka just outright.
Oh, there you go.
I think the polka was on like a 10-day, and after that we just kind of let it go. I am Joe G, and I'm joined, of course, by Rafa Hernandez Brito and Juan Miguel, voice of the Cavaliers.
Hi.
You're supposed to say hola.
I'm on a delay. We got to get Jared over here again.
Today we're going to have a special edition trade deadline. No fancy guests, no A-listers saying they never listen.
Hi, I'm Campy Russell, and I never, never, never listen to Wine and Gold Radio because I'm from Michigan.
There you go. There's Campy Russell talking about Michigan. Rafa, your Michigan Wolverines are still – we got to divert just real quick to March Madness.
It's been a difficult tournament because not only we have to win the games for Michigan, but also we have to carry the whole conference,
the whole Big
on
Ten
our back, you know. and by the way, I just found out, John and I have had this conversation on other shows before, how before I get to prepare for the Final Four, I really have to go and double check what conference each team is playing on. Because I don't know, Rutgers is part of the Big Ten now. Obviously, it's been there for a while, but in basketball, I didn't even notice it.
I would think you'd know the Big Ten pretty well because you dog every team so much.
There's so many. By the way, it's 14 of them. It's not 10.
Who knows anymore?
The Big Ten is the only one I call with confidence. Every other one, I used to say that in almost every broadcast. This guy out of whatever school, out of whatever conference. I don't trust myself at all. I mean, Big East used to be the easiest thing in the world, right?
Yeah.
We knew.
Yeah, right.
Providence, Syracuse.
Big East is kind of like the Catholic University League now, with all the Catholic, all the religious schools are in it now.
And then where you got your start, St. John's?
Yeah,
correct?
St. John's.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rest storm.
Once the American Athletic Conference came around, that was it.
Right. That was like.
I'm like, I don't know who's in it, but there used to be another conference that's in it, and I am out.
They are. They're a bracket buster.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know if because there was no tournament last year, and I don't think this is the reason. This year's March Madness, aside from not having a ton of fans, has been one of the best I can ever remember.
Really?
As far as. Every seed but the 16th seed has won a game. So all seeds have won games. A lot of upsets. No Duke, no Kentucky, no, you know, I mean, I just think this has been really fun. My school made it, Cleveland State, even though they got knocked out, we expected it. I mean, Ohio State got knocked off early for people who like that. I just think it's been a fun tournament. Pac-12 wasn't supposed to do much, and they did. It's been fun.
I think the average of the teams in the Sweet 16 is like 5 points something, right?
The average seeding. That's great.
And for the first time since 1979, you won't see Kentucky, Duke, UNC, or Kansas in the Sweet 16. Either one of those.
Wow. Teams. See, and I think that's great. I think it's great. I every now and again, it's nice to see the big boys, but. Loyola Chicago knocking off Illinois. This is right. This is good stuff, man.
But that's the other thing too, because Loyola Chicago beat Illinois. Aberdeen Christian beat University of
right.
Texas. So it's like the small schools beating the big guy.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. I think it's been great. And you know, the three alma maters of Cavaliers are still alive.
Yeah.
You know, Alabama, Colin Sexton, Torian Prince, Baylor, And don't forget Damian Dotson with Houston. That team's pretty good.
And we can throw in Angel's alma mater as well, because I mean, what's his name? The coach, Hamilton?
Leonard Hamilton.
He's overrated, man. I mean, he's underrated. I mean, underrated. I'm sorry.
Lost in translation.
He does such a wonderful job. Except for the post-game interviews when he loses, but he does such a wonderful job with Florida State.
He does. Amazing. He does. And his former assistant, again, I get another plug for Cleveland State, is the Cleveland State coach and kind of resurrected that program. So, yeah, I agree. That's really kind of cool.
Yeah, if you're counting Angel, we're counting Campy. So that's five.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Does Rafa count under Michigan or no?
In the Frozen Four, when Boston U's in there, then Rafa. Yeah. All right? In the Frozen Four.
And by the way, the only time since I left that we've been able to watch the Frozen Four, we were in Boston for a playoff game, and John and I went to a bar to watch the final. I think it was either the final of the Bean Pot, which is a big tournament in New England, and the poor BU goalie, they were the number one ranked team in the nation that year, and he literally just let the puck go in between his legs. He was like rolling towards him, and he just went through his legs, and they lost the game.
Oh my God!
And after the game, John and I were watching. They let the poor kid there talk to the media for like 30 minutes. It was the most horrible thing I ever watched. But hey. It is the Terriers are really good at hockey.
David Quinn was the head coach of that team, who now is the head coach of the Rangers and previously the head coach of the Monsters. And that was rough. I mean, you know, you hear stories about, what was it, a Yankees back in the day, a dropped third strike cost them the World Series, right? This rose to that level.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That was how rough.
He was kind of like Billy Buckner on first base.
Right. Oh,
yeah. Did he do media after that? I wonder.
Not like this poor kid, I guarantee.
This kid was sitting by himself, surrounded by media, asking the same freaking question.
I'll tell you, the PR guy should almost, he should kind of throw the gloves down PR guy after that one. Hey, before we get to the trade deadline, or the Cavs leading up to the trade deadline. Rafa, you said you had a question for us.
I had a question for you guys. Yeah, and you know, you guys have been with the company for how long? John, you've been with the company for?
This is my 10th season.
10th season with the Cavs.
That's right, yeah.
And then you were with the Monsters before that. So let's say. And you've been with the company.
This is my 18th season.
Well, I don't know who is it that I have to go to ask this request.
Oh boy.
It ain't us.
But you would know. It came to me because it always happens to me when Toronto comes to visit that I forget that it's a two anthem night. Mm-hmm. And I want to sing O Canada the next time Toronto comes to the field house.
Okay.
So who do I make
you,
that request?
You want to sing it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I love anthem.
I love it too, but you might butcher it.
I can sing between four and five anthems.
You can sing O Canada and not butcher it and
not at all.
And not where Canadians would be offended.
You have to try out. I'm sure you could try out. I'm sure there is a pool of applicants and you can try out.
How about I record myself and we play it on Wine and Go Radio?
There you go. That was my next thing. I was going to say, let's hear you sing it. I'd like to, because I love that song. You could not, I mean, that O Canada is a.
There is nothing better than to hear them sing it in the arena.
It's a beautiful anthem.
When the guy who sings for the Maple Leafs during the playoffs, he would do the Star Spangled Banner, and then it's a pause, and then he says, "Okay, Canada, you know what to do." And all he says is, "Oh, Canada." Oh. And then he just puts his microphone out, and everybody just goes crazy with it. It's incredible.
It's a great anthem. You know what? Hey, I don't know who you'd ask, but let's play your audition on the show and see. Don't you agree, John?
You need musical accompaniment? Just a thought for your anthem.
Yeah, that's right. And my advice to you doing the anthem is don't go right into it. Riff. The best thing to do is riff for a while and kind of do like a little Al Jarreau thing and then get into it. And then get into it. Okay, guys, so before the trade deadline, Thursday trade deadline, that's a very nervous time for people. And I thought Larry Nance last night or after the game against Chicago explained it great in that he said people think of this as moving players and moving pieces, but really you're moving families. You're uprooting families and kids in school and everything like that. It, there is a human element to the trade deadline, and players are a little nervous beforehand. I thought the Cavaliers responded very well in Chicago.
I love the effort. I think the way that we play, not only considering the difficulty of losing 24 points from Colin Sexton right. That night, and I said it in my pregame, and I'm sure you know that you guys touched it up, John, that it was kind of like a step up situation for a lot of people. I mentioned, you know, Larry Nance Jr. had to add on the offensive side as opposed to just defensive, and obviously his leadership. Okoro came out and got quick 7 points really quick and got everybody moving. And, you know, Stevens in the first half, Broderick Thomas in the second half. It was like a next man up team effort, John.
Yeah, you know, when you consider that every Cavalier who played scored, 11 guys scored and 9 players recorded an assist in that ball game. I mean, you want to talk about a collective effort, there you had it, you know, and you need to rally when your leading scorer is out of the ball game, and that's precisely what this team got. And yeah, you want to talk about the right way to kick off a road trip. You know, the Cavs had just come off of a 4-game, 6-day homestand, 1 day off. It's a travel day. And then they embark upon a 4-game, 6-day, 3-time zone road trip. Boy, you want to get that first W. And that was a nice one too. I mean, the way Zach LaVine started, you started to think, oh brother, it's going to be a long night because everything he was shooting went in in the first half. And you know, when you look at doing things collectively, we look a lot at the box score and offensively. How about what everybody did on LaVine in the second half? You know, and that was spearheaded by the rookie Isaac Okoro, but the team defense was excellent. Those second half numbers for the Bulls dropped precipitously. So that's, I mean, a complete effort. That's what you want there. You know, the Bulls were just, they frustrated them in the fourth quarter, took them out of their game, and now off they go into California. We'll see how the rest of the trip unfolds.
And you look at the adjustments. Obviously, Darius Garland and one assist shy of a double-double. Jared Allen came one rebound shy, but he got his first rebound in the last minute of the second quarter. And he came out in the second half and obviously made the adjustment. Larry Nance Jr. was just disrupting.
Yeah.
He was just unreal everywhere.
Yeah, when he's playing like that, when he's at the top of his game like that, he's so much fun to watch because he does everything.
He's in all passing lanes when he's guarding. He's unreal.
Yeah, he changes the game. He really, truly affects the game. And a couple huge offensive rebounds for him. And they were backbreakers too, the ones he grabbed. So I loved watching him.
The play that changed the game was Nance one-armed a rebound in among three Bulls. All right, grabbed the rebound. The Bulls had cut the Cavs lead, which is about 9, all the way down to 2. They were seizing momentum. You know, everything was going their way. Grabbed that one-armed rebound, pulls it down, keeps the possession alive. Then happens to run back behind the three-point line, eventually took a pass on the same possession, knocked down the 3, and that was it. The Bulls never got that close again. So I couldn't agree with you more. To me, that was the possession. That was the sequence of the entire night.
And that was Broderick Thomas with the assist. And then also, you know, the offensive board by Thomas and then go on the other end and get a block to keep the lead at 7, I believe it was. So it was just those moments in the second. They just kept breaking the back of the Bulls. They kept trying. They kept making it close. They kept coming back. But it was just those moments, like John just mentioned, just finished them.
The thing, the Cavaliers have something brewing right now that I personally love in a basketball team. And fans like this. When you have a fun bench group, and right now the Cavs have a good, young nucleus of a bench group. Eventually, you know, it's always fun when a team has a little bench identity right now. And Lamar Stevens, Broderick Thomas now, Dean Wade, Dot is, you know, is kind of fun. Quinn Cook. They have a nice little Dylan Windler. Most of them are around the same age, the young to mid-20s. They have something brewing right now, and it's fun. It's fun when one of them comes in. You wonder what's going to happen. Broderick Thomas last night, he's a high flyer. Lamar Stevens, real gutsy player. Dean Wade, skilled, you know, big man. It's a fun bench crew right now. And they lost. I don't want to say they lost, but speaking of the trade deadline, one of the anchors of the bench – and a guy who came off the bench and led the team in scoring this week, JaVale McGee, traded to Denver this week at the trade deadline.
You know, it's leadership. Everybody has talked about it. Even Jared Allen has talked. He tried to do what JaVale McGee used to do before the game, before coming onto into the court. It was Jared Allen who did that that day that he was that JaVale was sick, and he talked about how he kept everybody engaged. That they, his energy coming on into the court was contagious, John, and that is something that you have to give to JaVale McGee, that he from day one he was here. Rolled up his sleeves, whatever role he was in, he welcomed in and performed it really well.
And remember, he had almost no off season. He went, you know, all the way to the finals with LA, came in here, you know, came in late actually to camp and hit the ground running, as you said. So he's one of those players. You remember after the Cavs won the championship in 2016, obviously not apples and oranges, but somewhat the same. After the Cavs won the championship, Dele got that big contract with Milwaukee. He said, all right, Dele, bless you. You know, we're excited for you. Mozgov got a $64 million deal from the Lakers. Hey, Timo, good for you. You know, JaVale, thank you for those months and what you did. And when you hear it from the coaching staff about his leadership, it's one thing. When you hear it pretty much from each and every player, it's certainly another. And I thought he brought a ton to this young team, which needed someone like that, a rudder coming off the bench. And hey, go do your thing down in Denver. Go get it done. He's going to be a big boost.
Great team too there. No.
Yeah,
they get him. They get Aaron Gordon, who to me has always had more of a Western Conference suited type game. Right? I mean, he's less of a Magic, more of a let's get up and down and be athletic Nugget type player. So you know, Denver got to work at the trade deadline. But again, in terms of JaVale McGee, thanks. You know, when you think about it, guys, it was a 1 year thing with JaVale McGee, right? You know, they got multiple picks. They got multiple assets for him. They gave one asset, got multiple assets back in a situation where, you know, he wasn't part of the future. I mean, it's just not, you know, that's just the way it is with the current makeup of this team. So I think, you know, all things considered, again, thank you, JaVale. They did what they needed to do, and wishing him the best out there in Denver.
And the peace will continue because he gets traded for the guy that he was jabbing with during the last two games that we had.
They were brawling.
They were going at it. You know, there was a foul. There was a hard foul on somebody's team. On who was it? Who was the foul on?
Porter.
On Porter, Michael Porter Jr. And then, you know,
I say
there was a mild dust up.
And the thing is that
do you think they had to get broken up at the airport?
But the thing is that when you have 2 7 footers going at it, it just looks quite different.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Again, for clarity's sake, for those who didn't see it, going at it's a little strong. They sort of
but talking to each other. They were expressing to each other the discontent on the foul.
That's well said. Expressing discontent.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I'm with you guys with JaVale. It's like, excuse me, and as a Clevelander, I can tell you guys this, you have an inferiority complex. So when somebody comes here, especially from a world champion, you always kind of look at them sideways because – you think, well, are they going to come here with a bad attitude? Mm-hmm. Are they going to come here and kind of just go through the motions and just wait to get traded or whatever it was? And JaVale came here with all kinds of
– kept to work.
Yeah, he came right to work and sometimes was the most energetic player, either off the bench or on the floor at any particular time. That's how you do it as a veteran. You come in and you really give it everything you had. I did a piece this year on – over the summer about great short-term Cavaliers, guys that came in very short windows that made a difference. And I always remember Baron Davis. Even though it was a clunker of a season, it was the year after LeBron left, he came in and gave us something, just a little bit of juice that the crowd, that the team needed. He helped snap the losing streak, and he was the one that beat LeBron later that year with the Heat. So a short-term Cavalier can really mean a lot. And JaVale, again, he brought championship experience, not playoff experience, not just veteran experience, championship experience, how to do it.
I think you can make a list of all the great things that JaVale McGee did in his short stint here in Cleveland. But to me, at the top of the list is showing up with a coverall to the game.
You know what?
His last game, I believe.
The last game. Yeah, that was a – you know what?
That was a great look.
I already looked it up. It's under $200, you can get one.
I'm getting one. I don't know if I can afford the chains.
Well, and really? I thought you'd have some ice just hanging around at home.
But
that was a badass look, wasn't it?
I think we should do a show wearing coveralls.
I thought he looked so cool coming in that night. And he, And he had a great night. 6 for 9 from the floor, 18 points, led the team.
Although he came up short, one rebound short of his double-double, and his mom wasn't happy about it. His mom had requested 10 rebounds.
So, yeah, so, again, we wish him well. And also I'm glad that he went out to join Mike Malone, who's one of my favorite guys in the NBA. Easily.
And Jordy Fernandez.
And Jordy, right. So I'm glad he's out in Denver. I'm glad he rejoined. And he played in Denver, if I'm not mistaken. So that's good. I'm glad. Around the league, kind of interesting. Speaking of Denver, John mentioned it. Aaron Gordon goes to Denver. And that, boy, does that seem like a natural fit or what?
Now, who is left in Chicago and Orlando after this trading deadline? Like, is that where everybody came from that got traded? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Right, yeah. And again,
Orlando sent Fournier
to Boston.
Boston. Mm-hmm.
Gordon to
Denver.
Denver.
Mm-hmm. And
I forget who the other guy is. But
Vucevic.
Vucevic to Chicago. Which, that's a big move, man. That's huge. That's a franchise-changing move, in my opinion. You don't think so. I know you don't think so.
I don't know much about basketball because I don't think so.
Huh. No, I mean, I, if you don't think so, I think it's a big move.
We just saw Chicago. I think that improves Chicago. I think Chicago is a lot better today than they were yesterday.
I agree. I think that's a big step up for them.
It's an interesting to me time for the push. You know, Orlando said, "All right, we're out, reset." You know, Terrence Ross is looking around like, "What does happen down here?"
name? Oh, no, but what's his name got hurt when we were there?
Fultz.
Fultz, yeah.
Markel Fultz.
Yeah, so I always go back to something Brian Windhorst once said, that in the NBA you can sell two things, winning and hope. And now when you look at Orlando, like you said, Terrence Ross is looking around like, what happened? But for Orlando fans, now they have, like OKC, just a truckload of picks. You know, so they really, you know, looking into the future, they have to be excited.
Yeah, Miami also made some really good moves, I think. Although I believe, again, I don't want to criticize Pat Riley or anybody, but it seems to me that there's a ton of perimeter action right now in Miami, with the arrival of Ariza and Oladipo, and the exit of Olynyk.
Yeah,
but you know, Pat Riley's Pat Riley. He knows what he's doing, right?
And again, the reports were that LaMarcus Aldridge got a buyout, so they'll have a little bit of size there. And then, you know, another thing, speaking of Miami, is a trade that didn't happen, is Kyle Lowry, who was pretty much the biggest name going into the day and didn't move at all. And it made sense, too, because, you know, Toronto, I don't know if they're – I think right now, to be honest, I think they have the longest losing streak in the NBA going.
They lost to the Rockets.
Exactly. So
the Rockets broke the streak, I guess.
Right. So
the 20 game streak.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know.
What about this, John? Do you like Rondo going to the Clippers and them losing Lou Williams?
I like it for the Hawks, man. Rondo, you know, had trouble staying on the floor. When he was on the floor, okay. You know, he was an okay backup this season. You know, we've seen Rondo over the years. Sometimes he has pedestrian regular seasons. He's better in the playoffs. If you're the Clippers and you're desperate for a point guard, there you go. But Sweet Lou, I mean, again, we haven't seen too much of the Clippers, but man, you know what Sweet Lou can do off the bench, right? I mean, he's in the game. He's good for 10 points in 10 minutes, you know, maybe not a lot on the defensive end, but I like the deal. I like that deal for the Hawks. There's a couple of players who didn't go anywhere, and one is a Hawk. You mentioned Kyle Lowry, John Collins. His name was on the trading block. He doesn't go anywhere. It looked like Toronto was looking for the right deal for Lowry. I mean, they did trade Norman Powell. Powell goes to Portland.
Yeah.
You know, Rodney Hood and Trent coming the other direction. But, you know, the couple of names sticking around. Lowry is still there. The writing was on the wall when Philadelphia, I don't want to say settled for George Hill, but Philadelphia was clearly looking for a point guard, right? And then George Hill, with some time left before the actual deadline hour, goes to Philadelphia. And you kind of had a sense that, maybe Lowry, you know, if he doesn't go to Miami now, Lowry's going to stay in Toronto. And that's
Do you think Austin Rivers was thinking, hey, what's going on? What's going on here, man?
Other than that missed free throw in the final in game one, I think George Hill's a good increase for Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a good veteran. You know, I mean, and what do you guys think of the way Boston kind of came out of this?
I don't know.
Go ahead, Rob. Well, I was going to say, getting Fournier is interesting to me. Everybody thought Boston was going to get a big guy.
Right. Right.
I mean, the only big guy they ended up getting was Mo Wagner, and they swapped out Daniel Theis to get Mo Wagner, but no influx of bigs like we saw, well, like we thought they might. And, you know, a lot of people thought they might trade for, you know, somebody like Andre Drummond, you know, or something, you know, of that variety, but it never happened. They had another guy in Fournier who, again, you know, they have Jaylen Brown, they have Jason Tatum, they have Kemba Walker, they have these perimeter guys, and Fournier is certainly a perimeter guy. I still think, you know, you look inside for Boston, I'm not sure they solved any problems. You know, Fournier, yeah, here's another score. We've seen Boston stagnate without Kemba Walker. We saw it firsthand when Tatum and Brown get going. A lot of the other Celtics are left just standing around. You know, do they need a third scorer outside of Kemba, who's been on and off the floor? Maybe. Does Fournier provide that? Not sure. Have they solved any problems inside? I don't know that they have.
And then again, we get to see Boston a lot, and we never get to see Mo Wagner much.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as I can remember, Theis fit so well in that system. And he did great things for that offense, from everything that John just mentioned. I mean,
they like Theis. Theis and Tristan, though, have had their ups and downs playing alongside each other. Again, I'd need to see Wagner a little bit more to know if that is a better fit alongside Tristan, or even how Brad Stevens intends to use Mo Wagner. You know, is he start where Theis started? I don't know the answer to that. Do they go smaller? Hard to say, but it's certainly an interesting situation in Boston where it seemed like, considering their record, they might be a little more desperate than it appears that they were during the trading season.
Wagner's a Michigan guy, so Rafa probably knows all about him.
I called the game that he went to the Final Four when Coach Beilein was his last year at Michigan.
Was that the year you got busted cutting down the net?
Yeah. That's the year I also led the Michigan band doing the song when they came into the arena.
Don't you still owe a bet where you have to leave?
I have to wear the Michigan overall to do a Cassage Q episode.
Yeah, you just
for
you
that
still...
game for that game. Although
no, you don't wear the Ohio State hat.
I have to wear the drummer who doesn't drum. Hat.
Drum major.
The right? Drum
the
major.
Drum major. I know, right? The drum major's hat, who doesn't even come anywhere close to a drum. My idea to pay the bet was, and obviously 2020 happened, but you know how we used to have the school band here at the field house?
Yeah.
I wanted to dot the I.
That would have been cool. That would have been kind of...
Or at least I would.
I mean, you talk a lot of crap against the Buckeyes. I don't know if we want you dotting our
I would
eye.
Do the whole drum majors kit there and come out with the hat and march and everything.
Would you be converted if you dotted the I? Do you think?
Never.
Never. Like you're a diehard Michigan guy.
Maybe if I move to Michigan.
Okay, guys, we got the upcoming weekend. Cavs head to California to play the shorthanded Lakers, I guess you could call them, without LeBron and Anthony Davis. And then Sacramento looking for a little bit of revenge, and then close out in Utah. It's going to be rough. I mean, even without the big guns in L.A., it's still going
to
be.
I would like us to go into Utah with some house money, meaning – With a W, either at the Staples Center or in Sacramento. Sacramento owes us one because of what they did here at the field house. But I would like to go into Utah with some house money and see what we can do against that team.
This is a rough road trip to miss because we don't get to go to your folks' house.
Yeah.
Have the big
Although
party.
It would have been a hard one anyway because it's the second leg of a back-to-back. So we wouldn't have had a chance to even go have a meal there. But, you know, I do miss the hotel in Utah because I love those towels. There's plenty of those in my house.
The hotel in Utah, for those who don't know, is the Grand American.
They built that for the Olympics.
Yes, they built that for the Olympic. And the rooms are so huge, they're bigger than any apartment I ever lived in before I just got my house. It's the biggest room I've ever lived in.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
We were there once, and we had an extra night or something. So we were having a friendly game of poker.
Yes.
At Brent Valenti's room. Which was that was the first mistake to go into his room. So John Michael arrives at the room. We're already playing, and Brent's drinking his usual tall can of Truly. I forget what flavor it was, but he's a flavored Truly guy.
Okay.
And then John says, I want a beer. So he was walking towards the fridge, and Brent says, no, 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 go get your beer in your room. So John walks to his room and came back. There's no beer. There's no alcohol in the hotel room.
In the minibar.
In the minibar.
Okay, right. Well, it's Utah. I mean, Utah, right. you gotta jump through hoops to get a beer in Utah. You do?
That's kind of strange.
That's what we overlooked. But instead of actually checking in Brent's fridge, I went all the way back downstairs. Looked for my own, only to come up empty. And
so they don't have beer. They don't have alcohol.
No, just water in the minibar.
I would like to see John's face at the moment when he opened that.
Well, he cannot settle for the Truly.
Well, no, I took a detour. It took me a while to get back to the game. I missed a few hands, but I came back with a smile.
All right, guys. Well, that is our trade deadline special edition. We'll be back next week with the regular, all the crazy wackiness and a special guest. Ooh, and I have to tease next show as well, because next show we have something, a new addition to the show.
Oh, really?
And I'm going to tease it, just class participation. Ooh. Class participation starting next week.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and also you might sing O Canada.
I am singing O Canada.
I'm holding you to this next week.
O Canada, our home and native land, through patriot love, in all of us coming. That's the start. With glowing hearts, we see the light, our true north strong and free. From far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. I love that anthem. God keep our land glorious and free.
Free, yeah.
O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. And then at the end. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. I got to sing it like the guy in the Maple Leaf.
I was going to wrap up the show like that. That's it. That's it. I'll see you guys next week. Wine and Gold Radio.
Now I just got to figure out how I go into it, so I don't want to go right straight to it.
You're listening to Wine and Gold Radio. Cleveland.
Give me a How Come Quickie on WHK.
How come Bill Belichick coaches like, yeah.
Ohio.
Here. See you in 2 hours.
America.
Yeah, boy.
That was delicious.